This is Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, your journey to inspiration, connection, and transformation. I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats, your guide through stories of remarkable people from all over the world who are ready to tell their life story to uplift and elevate your journey. Let's begin this magical journey right now. So, hello everyone. You know, if we meet someone, we often know more about the work they are doing. Their work, the achievements, the awards, and all the things that they have achieved in life. But we are not really used to know the person, to get to know the person behind all those achievements. And that's so very important, you know, just to know more, just to get the holistic, a whole picture of who the person is, how they got to the position, to the place that they are right now, and what they had to do for it. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Mahalini's Voices of the Soul. Today we are going to give space to listen to the soul of one of a remarkable guest, Patricia Baranowski-Schneider. And I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats. I'm a multidimensional medium, teacher, healer on sacred sexuality and soul embodiment. You can hear it, soul embodiment, right? So that's why we are going to listen to the soul today. And I'm also the writer of the book, Make Peace with Your Origin, Your Human Origin. And in Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, we aim to delve into the heart and soul of our remarkable guests, just like we have today. And we are so thrilled and privileged to have Patricia Baranowski-Schneider with us as we explore her journey beyond her impressive titles and achievements. And I met Patricia in the community of Brains Magazine, where we are both contributing with beautiful articles to share with the world with our many insights. And a few months ago, Patricia had me on her own podcast, talking, exploring sacred sexuality. And now she's here to share her own personal story with us. Yay! Welcome, Patricia.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. Now you're having the floor here, you know, and I'm so thrilled and delighted just to hear more about your personal stories and the real you behind all the impressive titles and achievements. So before I'm going to dive with you in the personal story, I just want to share with the world what you have done business-wise.
Okay.
So Patricia is an experienced investor relations. I don't know it by heart, so I'm going to read it, folks. Okay. Patricia is an experienced investor relations, public relations, and a marketing executive with 35 plus years of expertise. She is specialized in enhancing client value, maximizing share prices, and fostering positive investor relationships. She has a proven track record in getting clients featured in top-tier financial publications. She has been on national TV, how can it otherwise? She has been on national TV, had many radio appearances, was a speaker on annual investment strategies conferences, and appeared in many magazines. And she is writing about leadership and so much more important topics. She has a global reach in diverse niches such as technology, finance, healthcare, and more. She is truly committed to delivering consistent company messages, ensuring a strong online and financial presence, ready to leverage her extensive experience for your company's success. Patricia is a writer too. She just launched her latest book with a very, very touching story about her 4 years in prison in Peru. And we will talk later about it. So welcome, Patricia Schneider, Baranowski-Schneider. You know, I really like your name and it made me so very curious. So tell me about it. So tell me more about it.
Well, funny part, Baranowski is my maiden name. And I've been married now 14 years, but prior to that, I've always been Baranowski. So when I got married, I kept the name because I'm like, business-wise, everybody knows Baranowski. But now my name is like Patricia Baranowski Schneider. It like doesn't even fit on one line on my driver's license. It's two lines away. That's a lot. But I felt that people knew me most as Baranowski. So even though I'm married now, if I said Patricia Schneider, they wouldn't know who that was. But
So at Baranowski, so that's the name of your father. It's your maiden name. And where does it come
Polish.
from? Oh, Polish.
He's from Polish. Yeah, my grandparents are Poland and Yugoslavia. And my husband, his family is actually his mom was Italian, his dad was German. So I got a mix of everything.
It's beautiful. It is a lot of mixture of European ancestral lines, right? Because my daughter-in-law is coming from Croatia, which is part of, and so I have two grandchildren, which with also ancestral lines from Croatia. It's so beautiful. And you have children, but because I,
I have two children and I have four grandchildren. And it's funny with the whole mix of genes. I mean, the grandkids, now on my side, you have Polish, Irish, German, my husband, their dad, Italian. Well, we have Italian, Spanish, Morocco. I mean, there's just, I'm sorry, not Morocco, Barbados. There's just such a mix of genes, but they're beautiful children, So it's kind of like, I've never been like I'm born and raised in Manhattan. So I know some people are prejudiced or racist and they like their cliques. I was in a melting pot my whole life. Manhattan has people from every nationality, everything. So it was always normal to me. I don't look at anybody. I see the people. I don't see where your background is. I don't see any of that. If you're a good person, that's all that matters to me. So it's an interesting with the gene pool,
It is, because it's so very important, the message that you're sharing with us, just don't look to the outer appearances,
Well,
and
that was always one of,
even outer appearances doesn't matter.
yeah.
It's
But that was always one thing that I struggled with growing up is that people, part of my one book, Life's Obstacles Can Be Your Greatest Motivators, where people always judged a book by its cover. They looked at me and thought, oh, she's a pretty girl. She had guys flocking to her, falling at her feet. She probably came from a wealthy family, had life handed to her. It's like, you have no idea what I went through. Talk about had guys, I went with every loser under the sun. I had really horrible relationships, abusive relationships. I had one ex who put a gun in my mouth. This one robbed me blind. This one was physically and mentally abusive. I raised two kids by myself, no support. I mean, I even going through school, I started as a receptionist, worked my way up the corporate ladder, put myself through college. I didn't even qualify for financial aid, which made no sense to me. Made minimum wage, but they two kids, minimum wage, and they always would say I didn't qualify for financial aid. So, I really struggled to get to where I was. And like that one book was just basically trying to get people to see, I always say life's obstacles can be your greatest motivator. Not that I want to air my dirty laundry out, but I want people to see that you're not alone. One, don't judge a book by its cover because you can look at me and think one thing. I guarantee you have it wrong. You have no idea what I went through to get to where I'm at. And I, pushed and pushed and I believed in myself because if I listened to what everybody else said, like I had my kids young. People would say, oh, you threw your life away. You're never going to amount to anything. You'll be working in McDonald's your whole life. If anything, it was my goal to prove you all wrong because I knew that I had what it takes to succeed. So I, put myself through everything to get to where I finally got. And I feel you're never there. You still keep, pushing, pushing. But really the whole book, like I said, was just to show people who are struggling, going through stuff. You're not alone. There are people who have been there with you. And you have to believe in yourself.
That is so beautiful, because if I can, I recognize myself also in your story, coming from a very abusive, sexual abusive background with a lot of violence, being the youngest one of 12 children, and 12 children living in Suriname, and it was horrible. It was horrible. But we are both able. We are both able, or we were both able, and still are both able to make the worst things become our greatest gifts, right? just because today, going through all the sexual abuse experiences, I discovered the sacredness of sexuality as being the energy of source.
Right.
And I really know how to help people, you know, just to go beyond all those hurdles, all those pain, all those anxiety, to discover who you truly are. Just to discover the true essence of yourself. And talking about your story, you know, thank you so much for sharing it in a very vulnerable way too. You know, if you're listening to your own story, because I can imagine that those stories, you know, every time when you achieve something, then you think about all the steps that you had to take to get there. And can you tell me, what is the true essence of Patricia?
I guess for me, I'm not a quitter. I said quitting is just not in my vocabulary. And I don't know if that comes from my background, where I was, you know, raised in a Catholic school. And that was, you know, you had to be excel at everything. Like if I got a 95 on a test, it wasn't good enough. If you got a 95, there's no excuse you couldn't have got 100. Mm-hmm. So this was how the mentality I was raised on. And I'm always a perfectionist. So like I graduated high school valedictorian. I got my master's degree 4.0 GPA. Mm-hmm. You'll learn about it in my book. At one point I was afraid of heights, and I did a tandem skydive to try to get over fear of heights. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with the sport and wound up becoming an instructor, because it wasn't just good enough to be fun. I had to exceed that, you know, excel at it and get to the top where I can teach other people how to do the same, because that's just the perfectionist that I am, always, you know, pushing the limits to get, you know, to where you want to be. But I also, when I did it, I'm also a very, like, what's the word that I guess a empath, where I, you know, really understand people. Like I know what you're feeling. So even with being this kind of instructor, I had a full-time job. I had my own business, but I was doing that nights and weekends and stuff to, you know, help other people. I know it's an expensive sport. Most of the people were younger. I was doing it for free because I wanted them to succeed safely. I go above and beyond to help other people. Like I was paying for jumps. And even with the business, I was hosting an annual conference every year. People from around the world come. It was a very, very great conference. I didn't make any money on it. I had people, the sponsors paid the venue. I wasn't out to make money. That's not how I want. Like even with clients, I work on the agency side. I always say their success is my success. I want you to succeed, because if you fail, then I failed. Like I just am a very compassionate person. I love helping people. You know, way back when, even as a single mom, I wanted to volunteer as volunteering in a hospital. You know, I mean, I just always love helping people. And, you know, I always say I'm a simple person, peace, love, and happiness. That's all I want. I don't want more in life. I'm not this materialistic person. I don't go above and beyond. Like even when my business was super successful, I could have just sat here, passed the work on to someone else and just, you know, had a Rolls Royce, did my thing. That's not who I am. You know, I live simple. I just want to be happy. I want everybody to be happy, help one another, and life could be good, you know?
Yeah, because, you know, you're talking about happiness, and I truly believe, and also I discovered in my own transformational journey and the work I'm doing, you know, and helping many clients globally, is that the same. There is one thing that is defining our soul. And that means happiness, because that's the desire to be happy and joyous. The moment that we are connecting with our own happiness, then we are connecting with ourselves. And then our soul gets the space, you know, just to travel around the world and be happy and make other people happy. So just listening to your story, how are you managing your energies? Because you're an empath, you like to help people. And I can imagine that sometimes you're putting people in front instead of yourself and forgetting yourself a little bit. So how do you?
I was doing a juggling? Lot of that.
Is it juggling? Is it juggling or?
I was doing a lot of that initially, where I was putting everybody above myself. And I was depressed all the time, because I just felt like it was never enough to help everybody. Yeah. Everybody needed help. And it's like, even with my business, I can only do so much. And it wasn't like I would feel like a failure, and I was going above and beyond to help everybody. You kind of find a happy medium. Like, you know, I definitely do my best to try to help people, but you'll learn on my other book with the Peru issue. I kind of got a little thicker skin. You know, I just realize when I'm being used now, because that was another big issue. I help everybody, but then you realize that some people just see you as, what can you do for me? And the minute you can't, they want nothing to do with you anymore. So, you know, I kind of got a little thicker skin, and I still want to help people, but I also realize that sometimes that's not always the right answer. Sometimes I have to help people help themselves. I'll help you get there, but I can't do it for you because that's kind of counterproductive, you know? So, and it also, like, you know, when you say travel the world and everything, you know, I mean, I live in New York. It, winters can be gloomy, snowy, cold. You don't go out. I belong to a lot of groups on Facebook, like photography groups. I've never traveled to half of these places, but I can see the beautiful animals and the sunsets and the sunrise and the beautiful scenery. And I watch that every morning before I wake up and right before I go to bed. And that just kind of sets my mood on. As bad as the world can be sometimes, it's beautiful. And you have to kind of overlook a lot of the bad and see the good that's still there. So I kind of try to juggle it that way.
Yeah, I recognize what you're saying, you know, because I also teach myself, and as I also teach my clients, is, you know, what's happening in the world, you have to become the observer. And that's one of my ways of dealing with all the things, all the energies. And I'm a very, you know, sensitive medium. So I'm picking up all those energies, just like a sponge, right? And then getting all the energies. And then, and one of the things, and I think that you can recognize this one too, is that just become the observer and fill yourself with music, with the high vibes. So just to stay connected with the soul, with your body, mind, soul, and you know, think, it's not only thinking positive, it's feeling positive too.
And even with them being the observer, like one thing, you know, if you try to think back decades ago, like when I was in school and presidents and politics, and it was always, you know, for the people, blah, blah, blah. And it's not the world we live in anymore. Everything is about who the top man is and what they can get out of it. And like half of the news is all garbage. It's not even true. It's to the point I don't even read the news anymore because I'm like, it's depressing. And I don't even know how much of this I believe anymore. Because you're going to tell us what you want us to hear, maybe to detract us from something else. So it's kind of like, I just, you know, when people tell me stuff like I'm not political at all, I just, Democratic, Republican, I don't know any of this stuff. I don't care. It's like, to me, it's just all nonsense anyway. It's not what it used to be. So I just try to find what makes me happy and focus on that, and
it's only simple, right? It is it is living from simplicity, and simplicity means just living by your own soul,
right?
Living by your own soul and connect with the joy and the light within. And one of the things that I also ask people, what is, or what I become aware of myself, is the question I always question myself: what is the energy that you're sending out right now? And if it's anger or anxiety, it doesn't serve the world, and we are here to serve ourselves but also the world, right?
And even connecting with people like that, like, you know, I don't really like being around negative people because to me it's contagious. I just want to be positive. I don't want to be negative. And I know some people, it's kind of like, you know, when they say it attracts. You know, some people I know, they're the most negative people I know, and their life is just constantly in turmoil and a mess. And I'm kind of like, you know, I can say, well, it's a lousy, rainy day, but it's going to bring sunshine, it's going to bring flowers. And, you know, there's lots of stuff you can find from the good. Or trust me, read my books, I've been through a lot of bad. But you can kind of turn it around and say, okay, but what did I get out of that? You know, like I said, the whole Peru thing, I didn't even want to tell the whole world about it because I'm like, one, it's embarrassing, even though it wasn't my fault and I wasn't guilty, but I feel that maybe that happened for me to try to bring awareness to people, to know that what happens. And like I said, I always thought that once you know, I'll tell about the book when you're ready, but I always felt that once you go to other countries, it's a beautiful world. Go explore it, see all that stuff. But you got to realize what goes on the other side and how unprotected you are, because the U.S. did not acknowledge me at all. Yeah. But then I look at like,
Can you share a little bit of that story? Because now we are coming to Peru and how it changed you, because you were for 4 years in prison, right?
Well, what happened was, like I said, I was a licensed skydiving instructor. And kind of like driving a car, you can be the greatest driver in the whole wide world and get hit from behind from somebody not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Well, the same can happen in the sky. Mm-hmm. I got hit basically from above from somebody who didn't see me. Now, they're flying at 175 miles an hour, hit me in the back, knocked off my helmet, and I wound up being unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I had what's in my parachute. That's called an AAD, an automatic activation device. It's not required, but I had one. What that does is it's programmed to say if you're falling below a certain altitude at a certain speed, it's designed to say something's not right and it'll deploy your parachute. Thank God I had that. That's what saved me.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am falling unconscious in the sky. It opens up my parachute and apparently landed still unconscious in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wound up cut out. I wound up going to a hospital for 1 month with a broken back, neck, and throat. I suffered TBI, traumatic brain injury. And, you know, I don't, like I said, I have no memory of any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got out, the doctors, you know, they did what all they could medically. But as far as the brain, they said, we don't understand the brain to the extent of, will it get better today, tomorrow, 5 years, 10 years? Will it get better 1%, 5%, 10%, 100%? We don't know. We could just wait it out. So they sent me home and I was doing like outpatient therapy and stuff, but all you could do was wait. We had no clue. So for the first year I'm home, I seem to be functioning okay. Now, actually back when I was in the hospital, apparently I was functioning as a five-year-old, like memory and mentality was at a five-year-old level.
Mm-hmm.
So as I came home, I was getting better, but it was never like someone else described it as Swiss cheese. It's like some things were totally fine and other things weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently I was functioning okay, where most people just assumed I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there was an issue where you didn't understand the right from wrong.
Yeah.
So I wound up falling for scam after scam after scam after scam.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up wiping out my entire bank account, but I wasn't catching on to what was going on. Like going back, I had hired somebody on this online, I don't know if you've ever heard of Fiverr, Odesk, and all of that, people per hour. I wound up hiring somebody from there. And what it is, you hire people from all around the world, you know, from various industries, and you kind of like not having to pay New York rate, you pay somebody else through this agency cheaper. So I thought it gives you global experience, different, you know, different views on how to do the business. I hired some man from Croatia who I didn't catch on, was the one who was introducing me to every single one of these scammers, but I never caught on to that. So anyway, you know, I was falling for all these scams. He then introduced me to somebody who he said worked for IMF, the International Monetary Fund. And again, my brain was thinking, okay, he apparently worked for IMF and he had this program for entrepreneurs and was willing to, it's basically a funding where they help, you know, he told me a list of debt consolidation. Mm-hmm. And then it helps fund your business so that you can grow. Mm-hmm. I had just had my first granddaughter. So I'm thinking, how cool is this? I can wipe out all the debt that I got into from all these scammers. If it's going to help fund the business, I can hire people to help me where I can spend more time with the kids and, you know, grandkids.
Yeah.
Thought this was a win-win. So they pay for your whole trip. He tells me I have to go to Peru, that the IMF rep will be in Peru. And then from there, he gives you these forms, and on it, you have to affix your passport photo, all your personal info, banking info, blah, blah, blah. Then you have to go from Peru to Madrid, Madrid to Doha, Doha to Hong Kong, and they will fund, you know, they'll fund your company and, you know, life would be great. I had clients in Hong Kong, and I'm thinking, this is awesome. I can go there and go see my clients that are there. Well, long story short, apparently, this is a big scam. I was never supposed to leave Peru. So I go there. Mm-hmm. Oh, I go there and you'll see in the book, it was actually two trips because my granddaughter was getting baptized. But anyway, they pay for me to go there. Then he tells me, the person that you have to meet had to go back to Hong Kong, but he grabbed his suit out of his luggage. Can you bring him his suitcase? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, why me? And he says, he's the one initiating you into the program. It's the least you could do. And I'm just thinking, okay. So he tells me, take everything out of your suitcase and put it in that suitcase. And I said, but I literally had just bought that suitcase. And I was like, but why would I do that? He says, you're a woman. You shouldn't have to carry two suitcases. I said, it's not the point. I just bought it. He takes out his wallet and says, how much I'll pay you. I said, it's not the point. I just bought it. I said, I'm a big girl. I'll be okay. Well, of course, now he has these forms. Now, the funny part was I secretly snapped a picture of him holding the forms with that passport photo. because I didn't want to be told you didn't give them the forms, you had to come back, whatever. I had no contact info from this person at all, except for what the one person told me. He was the IMF rep.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I have a picture of him holding this. Long story short, he gives me this luggage. Now you know where my, what, when my flight is, what airport, what time, blah, blah, blah. Ironically, I learned now that Peru is one of the most corrupt countries you could ever go to. They pay off the police. It's apparently, they said it's one of the big, next to Colombia, it's like the biggest cocaine, you know, target.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know this.
Yeah.
So anyway, you see on the airport video, the police holding that exact photo that I have this Nigerian man holding, look, circulating this through the whole airport saying, look for her, look for her.
Oh, there my
she
goodness.
Is. They said, there she is, getting out of a taxi, black pants, white shirt, go get it. How do you have that picture? Because I have a picture of the Nigerian man holding that. Because he pays you off. He pays you off, so you all attack me, and they're sneaking through thousands more kilos of drugs because you're not paying attention to that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking U.S. terms. I'm like, I have all the proof in the world. I have my brain injury. I have all the proof. Who, you know, doesn't matter. In the U.S., you're innocent until proven guilty. No, you're just guilty.
Yeah.
In the U.S., you'd have to investigate. There, doesn't matter. They said you're guilty. That's it. And then I learned that they are, they put everybody in prison because it's a money-making business for them. First, they get a fortune for every foreigner they arrest.
Yeah.
So if they catch a Peruvian, they're going to let them go. They're going to stick it on your luggage because mm-hmm. they make money from you.
Mm-hmm.
Then, unfortunately, we hired the only English-speaking lawyer we found, which was on the U.S. Embassy's website.
Mm-hmm.
He turned out to be just another scammer and robbed us blind. He, because of him, I stayed an additional year and a half there.
Oh, my goodness.
So we paid him a small fortune to do nothing but make my situation worse. I found out through the whole ordeal, the U.S. wouldn't even acknowledge me. Turn their back. The only connection you have is the U.S. Embassy, which was completely and utterly useless.
Wow.
In fact, my husband went there and he was trying to get help. He's holding there. He's outside. They wouldn't even let him in. He's holding up his passport over his head saying, I'm here. I'm a U.S. citizen. I need help. Yeah, make an appointment. He's like, I'm here now. They wouldn't even let him in. When I tried calling from the prison, their money is soles. So the U.S. dollar is like 4.5 times their money.
Mm-hmm.
So Americans are seen as walking ATM machines.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
they cost, mm-hmm. 10 times more for me.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to try to call the embassy, it was like 5 soles a try. 5 times I'm trying to call. First, I wind up going to somebody who doesn't speak English. They hang up. Go again. They send me to a mailbox that's full. I can't leave a message. Call back again. They bounce me around, disconnect me, call back. You know, this is what I went through. 25 soles later, still got no help.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I met lots of Americans throughout the whole ordeal, similar to me. A lot of them are elderly. Like there was a 74-year-old woman, a 75-year-old man. These people are not drug smugglers, but they fell for scams. Same thing. Peru doesn't care.
It is terrible, you know, just to know, or this on one hand, it is good. Sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah.
On one hand, it is good just to know that these things are happening because it almost sounds like one of the CSI movies, right?
Yeah.
It's just the movie. Now this is a practical situation. It has been your experience. And
if it didn't happen to me, I wouldn't believe it either.
Yeah, you know, and it is horrible. But how did you get out of it?
Well, you know, I spent I spent the first year there. And I always say I was a tourist of Peru's prisons because they bounce you around from place to place to place.
Mm-hmm.
So I wound up going to one place, the one lawyer we had, the English lawyer. He was Peruvian but spoke English. He tells my family he's putting me on house arrest. I'm thinking, finally, I'm going home. No, house arrest in Peru. So my husband, again, had to pay for an apartment. Everybody else in that complex paid 1,500 soles a month. Of course, I had to pay $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
Now, again, our money is 4.5 times theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how this all started. So with this, before he even did that, my husband asked him, does this count as time served? Because if not, keep her where she's at. Because when I was in the first prison, I worked at their daycare because people can have babies up to 3 years old there. It made the sucky situation a little bit better because I got to play with babies all day. That's all I had. There was about 6 other English people from Thailand, Indonesia, whatever. I had some people I could communicate with. It wasn't the greatest situation, but it helped. Now you put me in an apartment where I'm isolated from the whole world. My family's back in the U.S. there, the internet, phone, nothing ever worked. So you're sitting here by yourself. I was so depressed because it's basically solitary confinement.
Yeah,
you can't go anywhere because I was checked on 4 times a day by the police.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I dealt with that for a year. But before all this happened, this lawyer kept saying, it definitely counts as time served. Stop asking me questions. I told you repeatedly, it definitely counts as time served. Long story short, after 13 months of dealing with this house arrest, we finally get a court date. Now, mind you, the original thing for me to get house arrest, the courts were granted a 9-month investigation to investigate. They did nothing.
It's almost
If that was in the U.S., you'd go home. Here, no. We said 9 months, but that's fine. So now I have to go to court. Now they have 3 judges. Here, the judges, you pay full attention. You know, they give you utmost, respect and attention. Here, there's 3 judges. 2 are having a full conversation through the whole trial. They're having a whole conversation, laughing, giggling. The other person's on his phone. No one's paying attention to anything we have.
Yeah.
We had all my medical. They even had a top forensic psychiatrist in Peru evaluate me to see, was I faking an injury? I passed that with flying colors. So when all was said and done and everybody's done with their pitch, we have to get the attention of the judges saying, hello, we're done. They still, yeah, okay, cool. Say innocent one more time, 15 years. You say innocent, we'll give you less. That's all they had to say. Didn't care about any proof we gave, nothing. They told me if I plead innocent one more time, 15-year sentence. I had no choice but to plead. I'm guilty for something that I'm not guilty of.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I plead guilty. Then I turned out house arrest never counted. So through all this now, that's another 13 months. I wound up getting COVID while I was there in prison and everything. So with COVID coming in, everything was delayed. It was an additional year and a half because of that first lawyer who did nothing but scam me. So we eventually got another lawyer who, I mean, he was phenomenal. I mean, we've been trying at this point to get that first lawyer off of the embassy website and have this lawyer put on it, because that first lawyer, he's buddy buddies with the embassy. That's not right that you're promoting this man and he does nothing but scam everybody. Yet this man who's jumped through hoops for several other Americans and countless other people should be on there, because he really didn't charge a fortune, but he did so much work. He really jumped through hoops to get me out.
Yeah.
And other people that I knew. So he's and the reason I was home.
He succeeded to get you out of it. And if you're looking now, because when did it happen?
This happened in 2017.
2017. So it's now 6 years, 6 years ago. And then you returned 21st?
This January will be my 3rd year home.
Okay. And if you're looking back, with all these experiences, with all the horrible things, it has been, I don't have any words other than horrible. I cannot imagine this thing happening, but this is reality, right? And people are left alone, just as you said, the US government didn't really care about you and about all the Americans being there in prison.
What I hate with that is, like, when you hear on the news, like, Brittany Griner, the basketball player who got arrested in Russia, I don't even know her, so I can't even speak for her. But because she has a name, the U.S. went to bat to get her home.
Yeah.
Then they look at me, who am I? That's not fair. Because even when I was in the apartment, we reached out to, and we were trying to get media exposure, thinking somebody's got to help me. We were reaching out to Kardashian, Oprah Winfrey, you name it. But at that time, it was President Trump in office. We reached out to everybody. Everybody completely ignored us. And we're like, what does it take to get recognized? If you're not someone with a name, they don't care what you have to say.
Yeah, that's why it is so important to share personal stories. That's the aim of this podcast, to share personal stories, to know what people has been going through, just to get there where they are. And can you share with us, how did it form you? What did it do to you? What did you get out of it to make you the person that you are today?
Well, through the whole thing, I was so depressed. I mean, and I'm not a suicidal person, but honestly, when you are pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, I reached a point that I said, I can't do this anymore, because I felt like this emotional roller coaster from day one. This happened, you're going home. No, you're not. You're going to go home. Yeah. No, you're not. And this was 3 years of this. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I literally planned, I said, I had it all figured out, because everybody says, like, oh, in prison, you can't have knives, you can't have this. In Peru, for money, you can have whatever you want. They were butcher knives. There was, you can do whatever you want there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just convinced myself I was done. I said, everybody will miss me, but they'll get over it and I'll be fine. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
But then
but
I had
you're
gotten,
still here. But you're still here.
Well, I got a note from my son.
Yeah. You're
And
still
that,
here.
yeah. When I got that note from my son, I was like, he was just basically writing, you know, that I love you. You're so strong. You know, I that just made me like, wow, okay, I'm going to be here for him. And, you know, I struggled a lot even with, you know, religion, because one thing you did there, you studied with various Bible groups who spoke English. So I was with Christians, Jehovah's, you name it, because they spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always challenged by that, because I'm like, why do you do this to me, though? I'm a good person. I help everybody. What did I do to deserve this? So I struggled with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't, you know, everybody would always say, you might not know the reason now. And I'm like, but this is not right. I keep dealing with so much. Why? So, you know, I kind of just, once I was finally out, like I started thinking, you got to think positive. You have to think positive. And I started thinking, okay, there's a reason for this. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that I'm supposed to see what other people are dealing with in this country and try to help them. You know, so I kept trying to think of a positive outlook. And then once I finally got home, I said, like I said, I didn't want to even write the book. How I did it, there was a daily diary every day. It was my sanity. I wrote it as a diary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I came out, I did the book. And I said, well, maybe the whole point of me going through this is to shed light on what happens and how people need to be cautious. Because like I said, it's not just me. I met countless other people throughout the journey.
But did it make you stronger? What, did it give you more power? And are you also using that power? If so, you know, can you use it in your daily life, in your business? You know, can you share us more about that part?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely made me a lot stronger, but also, like I said, kind of gives me a little, before I was just naive and I believed everybody because I always wanted to see the positive in everything. Even if somebody was horrible, I tried to see the positive. Now I'm kind of a little back. I learned to get second opinions on things. Don't just trust my own judgment, but also, you know, to not take everything at face value. You know, if this is, because again, the world is even 10 times more full of scammers now, and you have to just be a little more careful. But I definitely am a lot stronger, and I'm not as much of a pushover. And like I said, I'm not just always about trying to help everybody just because I'll help you, but I also want you to help yourself. So I'm kind of in that mode now where, you know, people still know that I'm here to help, but I'm not just going to help you. I'm going to help you to help yourself also. You know?
Yes, it's more sustainable help, right? Can I call it more? Because I can imagine going through all those problems, you know, that it has been transforming you just to find the leader within you, you know, just to take more lead, or maybe you're in the process, you know, just to becoming the leader within, discovering the leader within. And from your experience, to share with the world that those experiences, you know, they are not breaking you down. You can use it, you can transform it just to uplift yourself and become even more stronger.
And I could have looked at everything and just said, well, you know, my life sucks and look at all this bad. It must be because I'm a terrible person. And and it's like, I know I'm, and I'm like, I know I didn't deserve this. And regardless, you try to break me, but you didn't. So now here I am, you know?
Yeah, because the one thing is that, you know, deep inside of you is the soul. That's the soul. And the soul is eternal. It's unbreakable, right? That is what I believe. It is unbreakable because you've shown it during all your experiences. And of course, not only this experience, but all the experiences you shared with in the beginning of the podcast with the man, you know, the relationship and life itself, you know, it's, and what I hear in your story too, is that, that you're more capable right now to put boundaries, to make the difference, because I recognize myself in your words, Linda, Patricia, because I had really a hard time to believe and discover that people, sometimes they could be evil. Although a lot of things happened, I had bad experiences too, I had a really a difficult moment, you know. I had many difficulties just to recognize that people could be evil. And the moment that I could recognize it, then I could make the difference between them. And now deciding, so I'm really, we have a few minutes left. I'm really happy to hear that you made your much more capable of making the difference, you know, and just recognize, because the world around us, it's not always fun. But the only funny thing is here inside of you, inside of us, right? Yeah, it's we have to bring this podcast to a closure. We have a few minutes left, and I would like you, I'm inviting you just to, what are the things, are the things left that you would like to share with the audience, with the listeners?
I guess at the end of the day, I just want everybody to, like I said, believe in yourself, but yes. Also, you know, I always used to make a comment, surround yourself by people smarter than you because you learn so much from them, but also surround yourself with people who believe in you. Because if one thing that whole Peru thing taught me is who the real people in your life should be. Because so many people walked away. Like, if you knew anything about me, you'd know I'm not a criminal. Everybody knew this. But those who really friends, you know, who really knew who I was, they were willing to risk themselves to try to help me.
Yeah.
You know, because that you need to surround yourself with people who support you, not financially, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. You know, people who are there for you, who believe in you, because that helps you believe in yourself too.
So what you're saying is that the your experience with Peru helped you to discover the true love of people for you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And your self-love, you know, and also the self-worthiness, mm-hmm. and made you so powerful, you know, because you have a thriving business right now. You're doing a lot. It's still, after those experiences, you're still managing and you're still growing. So I really bow for you, and I really applaud you, you know, for all the achievements that you're still getting, and it's still increasing.
Like I said, maybe quitting is not my vocabulary.
Sorry?
Like I said, quitting is not my vocabulary.
No. It made me even stronger, you know. It made you even stronger. So how can people reach out to you? How can they reach you? Where can they buy your book, for instance?
Okay, well, all my books are on Amazon. Just Google my, in Amazon, look up my name, Patricia Baranowski, that's SKI. I have two websites. One is my company, which is pristineadvisors.com, and that's advisors with an ERS.com. Mm-hmm. I also have another website, pbaranowski.com, which is similar information, just more about me personally. Email's always the best way to reach me, and that's pbaranowski@pristineadvisors.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, I'm everywhere. Just Google my name.
And I will add your websites, of course, when I share this the podcast with the followers. And you know, and ladies and gentlemen, this has been such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful and touching story with Patricia. And, you know, and after Patricia, of course, we are going to invite more guests to share their personal stories. And the next time, Linda Sunshine West will be here also to share her personal stories, because she ran away at the age of 5. So it will make you curious to know what happened right after that, and how that shaped her today. So, and also, of course, I would like to bring this to a closure by inviting you to subscribe to my channel, to get to be the first one to reach this kind of beautiful personal podcast and meet remarkable people from all over the world. And in just a few weeks, I will do a free masterclass to get more intimacy in our life, you know. And I'm doing a lot of womb cleansing too, and womb healing. So stay tuned with us, and you will know more about what's happening in the world. Remarkable guests. And I really hope, and I know for sure, that this story of Patricia, because it is not a story just like a story, you know. It is not happening. It is so touching. It is so remarkable and so one of a kind, Patricia.
And everybody always tells me that needs to be a movie. I said,
you know, it's a personal story that needs to become a movie, right? Just to share with the world. And also I'm sure that people will feel uplifted and inspired by your story. And just know, people, oh yes, I forgot just to share some quotes. I love to close with some inspiration, because that's the main aim of this podcast, and that is that expect troubles and hurdles as an inevitable part of life. Help yourself by repeating the most comforting words of all, and this too shall pass. Because the only thing, my dear listeners, that is eternal is your soul. And your soul is within you. It never dies, because you were never born. So it doesn't know death. It doesn't know an end. It's there and it will always be there. It will stay with you no matter what. So therefore, you are an eternal soul. Yay!
Nice.
So thank you, everyone. And see you at the next podcast. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure.